Alexander, The Sands of Ammon, by Valerio Massimo Manfredi. Read by Derek Jacobi. From the top of the hill, Alexander turned towards the beach. He beheld a scene that was an almost identical repetition of one that had been played out 1,000 years earlier. Hundreds of ships were lined up along the coast, carrying thousands of soldiers. But the city behind him, Ilium, the heir to ancient Troy, rather than preparing for years of siege and resistance, was now getting ready to welcome him, the descendant of Achilles. He saw his companions coming up towards him on horseback, but he wanted to be the first to enter the ancient shrine of Athena of Troy, and he wanted to do it alone. So he dismounted and crossed the threshold of the temple. The ancient building was full of relics of the war described by Homer. Here was Paris's lyre, and here Achilles' great shield. But how much was real, and how much was simply the product of the priests' cunning, of their will to exploit the faithful for their own ends? At that moment, one of the priests entered. He bowed respectfully. "Welcome, most powerful lord. These are relics of the Trojan War." "True?" said Alexander. "Certainly. The objects you see here have been revered between these walls since time immemorial." At that moment, there came the sound of footsteps, and Hephaestion, Ptolemy, Perdiccas, Seleucus, Alexander's friends, entered the famous sanctuary, together with Callisthenes, the expedition's historian. Ptolemy walked forward. "So, Paris's lyre!" He brushed the strings, and the instrument produced a dull, out-of-tune chord. "But is it, really?" "In Sparta," said Callisthenes, "they have the egg from which, supposedly, Castor and Pollux were born. I think it's an ostrich's egg." The priest threw him a disdainful look. The king moved towards the shield of Achilles and stroked it gently. "How did this come to be here?"
"Ulysses brought it," said the priest, "filled with remorse for having usurped Ajax's right to it. He placed it here as a votive gift, imploring Ajax to help him return to Ithaca."
"Do you know who I am?"
"Yes, Alexander, King of Macedon."
"That's right. And I am directly descended, on my mother's side, from Achilles. Therefore, this is mine. I want it." The priest's face drained of colour.
"But, sire..."
"Have it brought to our camp. It will be displayed before our army, before every battle. And now our visit is over." The king then left the temple, mounted his horse, Bucephalus, and rode down to the camp on the seashore, which was teeming with activity like some giant anthill. The next day, Alexander undressed before his assembled army and, as required by ancient rite, ran 3 times around the tomb of Achilles. Hephaestion did the same around the tomb of Patroclus, while more than 40,000 voices cried in unison, "Alalalai!"
"He certainly knows how to act," said Callisthenes.
"You think so?" replied Ptolemy.
"No doubt about it.
He doesn't believe in the legends any more than you or I. But right now, he has his men believing he's Achilles reincarnate, and that all dreams are possible."
"You sound as though you know him."
"I have learned to observe men.
Well, I was 6 years old when I first met him, and I still cannot say I truly know him."
When Alexander put his armour on again, General Parmenion ordered the trumpets to be sounded, and the army lined up along the shore. The trumpets sounded again, and the long column began to move, the cavalry on the flanks, the infantry in the middle. As the sun climbed high in the sky, the army slithered forward like a long snake.